Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom.
A time-sensitive announcement. Meditation, if it is one more task on my to-do list, it will not help. Meditation, however, if done correctly, can truly transform our relationship with the mind such that it does not bind us but lead us to the truth. Dhyanam, Meditation and the Meditator, my most popular course at the Hindu University of America, is back yet again. The course will include the understanding of the mind in the Vedic tradition, key meditation practices, and an inquiry into the nature of the meditator. Drawing from the Yoga Sutras, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Upanishads, this course will lead the participant to have a guided, suitable and meaningful meditation practice. The course begins on 14th April 2024 and continues every Sunday for 11 weeks at 10 a.m. EST. The link to register is in the description of this episode. I hope to see you there. We think that the big decisions shape our lives. Actually, what we do in simple, ordinary moments shape our lives. Let's consider an ordinary, typical day at work. Your team leader makes a presentation to the vice president of the company. About four of you have worked on the presentation. While presenting, the team leader speaks of everyone's contribution and skips mentioning you. The presentation goes off very well. Everyone is congratulating the team leader. All you can muster is a sarcastic response. Hey, thanks for acknowledging my contribution. And you walk away. Over lunch, you blurt out some of her personal secrets that she had shared with you in confidence with another colleague. A day later, your team leader comes and apologizes to you for skipping your name in the presentation. She was very stressed because she heard about a medical diagnosis that morning before the meeting. You are able to see her point and now regret doing what you did. It is too late, as the gossip is spread. You beat yourself up. Why did I react like this? An ordinary, typical day at home. Your 12-year-old has returned from school. 2 hours have passed and she's continuously playing games on the iPad. You start shouting. I told you to stop an hour ago. Nobody values what I say. So many sacrifices I have made. I should not have quit my job. And look at you. You have no respect for your mother. Stop this right away. You are seething with anger. And the 12-year-old shuts the iPad and walks out of the room. Later in the evening, as you pass your daughter's room, you overhear her speaking with a friend. As long as I live in this house, I will have to keep listening to my mom's long list of sacrifices. I'm just so fed up. I feel like running away. And you think the issue was about screen time. Why do I always get triggered when my daughter is not obedient? What happened in these two instances is normal. In the work situation and in the home situation, you got angry and reacted. Getting angry is a part of the human condition. If our expectations are not met, we get angry. And we cannot help but have expectations. However, the way we express anger and possibly victimize others is a choice. We find ourselves unable to make the choice because our reaction takes over. The reaction becomes us. And then we have regrets. The Taittiriya Upanishad refers to this dilemma. Kimaham sadhuna karavam. Why did I not do the right thing? Kimaham papam akaravam iti. Why did I do the wrong thing? In moments that we get triggered, we are not in charge. What is in the unconscious comes up. While the conscious mind contains all the thoughts, feelings, and memories we acknowledge, the unconscious consists of deeper mental processes which are not readily available to the conscious mind. Simply put, the unconscious is that aspect of our mind which is not often accessed or known at a conscious level unless we pay attention to it. A lot of our impulsive reactions are expressions of pain and anguish that are there in the unconscious. Some buttons get pressed and the reactions just tumble out. Just like when you press the button on for the washing machine, it will start working according to the default setting. Whichever the default setting, quick wash or wool or delicate, the washing machine will begin irrespective of the number of clothes and the nature of clothes that you put in the washing machine. A default setting of quick may not be appropriate for the set of clothes you wore after an Ayurvedic oil massage. If exercising of choice is required for a simple task like a washing machine, then surely one cannot react in the same way with different people in different situations. To stop reacting, first we need to know what our default settings are. Only then we can see where these reactions emerge from, create space, and then learn to respond. A couple of our default settings are 1. The emotion default. We tend to react to our feelings rather than reasons and facts. In the first instance of feeling unacknowledged and almost ignored by the team leader, you snapped at the team leader. To almost punish her for what she did, you wanted her to lose face and hence shared her secret. You were not willing to give her the benefit of doubt. That she did not mention you was completely unacceptable, and she must pay for it. Yes. Although she could have mentioned everyone's name, she made a mistake. All of us make mistakes. We are reacting out of our emotions all the time in these ordinary moments of life. Walking off in a huff, hanging up on people, withdrawing out of hurt, exploding in anger, ruminating endlessly about a difficult conversation. 2. The ego default. We tend to react to anything that threatens our sense of self-worth or our position. In the interaction between the mother and daughter over the excessive use of the iPad, the mother felt that in not obeying her, the daughter was challenging her position as a parent. The mother's frustrations of having given up her career to raise the daughter felt multiplied because the sacrifices she had made were not bearing fruits and the daughter's rebellion was only increasing. Both the emotion default setting and the ego default setting are related to the unconscious. The unconscious can be looked upon as a child frozen in time. Everyone has a child in himself or herself. The child has innocence, freshness, and curiosity. The child also has feelings of helplessness, hurt, and pain from experiences of childhood that were pushed aside and not expressed. And so, if these have not been processed, the reactions sitting inside just come out and we feel possessed by them. We are no longer in charge. Arjuna asked our question, which is really an age-old question, to Bhagavan. Atha kena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha అనిచ్ఛన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ బలాదివ నియోజిత. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: వార్ష్ణేయ కృష్ణ, ఇంపెల్డ్ బై వాట్ డస్ అ పర్సన్ కమిట్ పాప? యాజ్ దో పుష్డ్ బై సమ్ ఫోర్స్, ఈవెన్ దో నాట్ డిజైరింగ్ టు. ద రీజన్ ఫర్ దిస్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్స్ or binding desires related to the unconscious, the inner child. Our lives seem to be controlled by the unconscious, unexpressed fears, desires, dreams, unresolved thoughts and feelings. The unconscious has to be ventilated and expressed. If you do not try to make the unconscious conscious, it will keep expressing itself without your knowledge. If the inner child is integrated with the adult, then the person will be expressive and have the freshness and spontaneity of a child, as well as a maturity to respond with dharma. If the unconscious is processed by acknowledging what one went through and validating and accepting oneself, then we are not driven by the unconscious. How to know the unconscious? Some of you say, bad enough that I'm dealing with a variety of problems. Now I have to deal with this invisible thing called the unconscious also. Well, it's not so daunting. We need not be an archaeologist and go digging unnecessarily. We work with what we have. All of us have the emotion default setting and the ego default setting. We create space between us and the reaction. How? By simply being aware of our reactions of hurt, anger, sadness, and other patterns without self-condemnation. Awareness creates a space of looking at the reaction objectively and inquiring into the background. Things have happened to me which have contributed to an accumulation of hurt or anger. Things have happened to others which also causes them to react in certain ways. In people's behavior, we recognize that everyone has a background. In a reaction, we just impulsively say or do something which makes it a one-step response. How dare you say that? Or uttering certain abusive words. Instead of a one-step response, we try to have a two-step response. With this, you say in your mind, oh, there is a background behind the person's statement. The recognition gives me space. I will not immediately unthinkingly react to the person. This space allows me to pause and offer a two-step response. Creating the space for a two-step response gives you the inner leisure to deal with people of different backgrounds without being ruffled, without being taken for a ride. You can just step back and look at them with kindness and understanding. You stop reacting and start responding. How to respond? 1. Recognize the law of karma. Everyone is shaped by the karma, punya and papa of their life circumstances. Punya has manifested as supportive, favorable situations in one's life, like a decent education, supportive family, access to opportunities. Papa might have manifested as neglect in the family, break in education, limited or no access to opportunities. While one may not have a choice about certain events in one's life, going forward, one always has the choice over one's actions and responses. Karmani eva adhikaraha te. We need to respond to our own issues. Only then one can respond to the world consciously. The law of karma includes the principles of emotions. The punya and papa in one's life
would have given rise to some set of emotions and perhaps the emotion default or the ego default. Whichever default setting it may be, karmani eva adhikaraha te. Choice being there over one's actions and responses, one exercises the shakti that has been given. Just like the ant that still dodges your feet while you are jogging in the park, the ant moves around with Ichha Shakti, the power to desire, Jnana Shakti, the power to know, and Kriya Shakti, the power to do. However helpless you feel, you too have all these Shaktis at every moment. We have the ability to respond and not mindlessly react. You decide that you will not victimize anyone due to your anger. You can help yourself and also ask your family for help. You can say, I'm not going to victimize anyone due to my anger. When I'm angry, I will say, I'm angry now, I will talk to you later. If you are angry with me, please say so. When I get angry, please point out to me. You can ask your children to help you and your children will do a great job and say, hey, Papa or Mama, anger is coming. Taking charge of your reactions, you also say, I will respond to the issue at hand and not keep linking it to unresolved issues of the past. I will work with a friend or a counselor about persistent patterns that need attention. I will pray to Bhagwan to help me resolve this. How would one apply responding and not reacting to the team leader? The two-step response would acknowledge that you're really upset that she did not mention your contribution in the project. You give her the benefit of doubt. She might have a reason or it might have slipped her mind. You could just go up to her and say, great presentation. We all worked really hard for it. I observe that you mentioned everyone who contributed but skipped my name. I've known you to be fair in your dealings. I was really surprised that you did so. This would give the team leader an opportunity to clarify. Depending on her response, if you believe that the team leader deliberately did so, you can decide how you want to make sure that your contribution is highlighted in the project report. If it was just a slip of the mind, you can let it go, knowing that it can happen with the best of us. Since this incident was a reminder of the times from the past where you felt unseen and unheard, and hence not worthy enough, you tell yourself, I did not feel worthy enough. That was then. This is now. Even then, I was worthy. Even now, I am worthy. I have a lot of good qualities and the ability to work hard. The fact is that I have made many contributions. It is unfortunate that the people concerned did not see or recognize me. They did so because of their background and circumstances. I feel and think so because of my background and circumstances. The facts are different from what I feel. I dwell on the facts and don't resist my emotions. I welcome all emotions. Dwelling on facts will loosen the grip of the emotion default, and one will respond to the situation with facts and emotion. 2. Recognize that the law of karma and emotions is pervaded by Bhagavan. In the 10th chapter of the Gita, Bhagavan says that all mental dispositions such as buddhi, the capacity to understand, shama, mastery over the ways of thinking, sukha, pleasure, dukkha, sorrow, bhaya, fear, and abhaya, fearlessness, all come only from me. Wait a minute. Did you say dukkha, sorrow, and fear are from Bhagavan? Yes. This is a very important teaching.
all mental dispositions and emotions are from Bhagavan alone. You or me have not invented fear or sorrow or even anger. These principles and emotions are present in the universe and we feel it from time to time. Surely, Bhagavan would have to be a real weirdo if he had given us fear and then said, "You must not have fear." Knowing that the law of emotions is pervaded by Bhagavan, one understands it to the extent one can and works with it. Is there any reason for me to resist any mental disposition or emotion if they are all given? I welcome all of them. In seeing that the law of emotions is pervaded by Bhagavan, I become a devotee. How does one stop reacting and start responding? In the instance where you as a mother reacted to the daughter, you first start becoming aware of your ego default. Your daughter wanting to play on the iPad is just her expression of wanting to have fun. She's not trying to undermine her mother's authority. Additionally, in expressing her wishes as different from your wishes, she's also trying to establish an independent identity free from the parents, which is necessary for any child's growth. As time moves on, these expressions by our children will be different from us. These will be more and not less. She wants to play and you want her to study. You can discuss home rules for use of the iPad and also role model less screen time. Even after you discuss ground rules, she will rebel because she is pushing her boundaries to establish her own sense of identity. You see these actions and responses as a part of her growth and your growth of letting go of control over her. After all, she's your daughter, she will do well. The daughter did not ask you to make any sacrifices. You decided to put the career on hold. And hence, we'll experience a roller coaster of emotions that comes with the choice until you are at peace with the decision. There will be days you will miss the work, the banter with office colleagues, the paycheck. And yet, you revel in seeing your daughter grow up, being present for all her life's milestones, and delighting in her victories. It is all a mixed bag of emotions. As a mother and as a devotee, you see that the daughter came through you and to you. She is prasada from Bhagavan, a gift given to you. Being a devotee envelops you with love to look at yourself and your daughter. That gives you the strength to also deal with the frustrations of friction. Being a devotee gives you the space of awareness to look at the facts of this age and stage of life, your needs and values, and the needs and values of others. You respond with the voice of Dharma in your heart. You are now a devotee, playing the role of a mother, doing what you can, knowing that the ultimate father and mother, that is Bhagavan, is looking after all of you. You are relaxed and objective. It is always possible to respond and find a way forward, one time and every time. And so we can stop reacting and start responding by 1. Being aware of our default settings and formulating a two-step response. 2. Knowing that the law of karma is pervaded by Bhagavan, we respond with our offering of karma. 3. Responding with our threefold shakti that is available to us at every moment. 4. Becoming devotees, enveloped by Bhagavan's love for oneself and others, and doing what needs to be done.
You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your friends, family, or on social media.
Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode.
The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji@discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.